Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Norm Lorenz. Norm's the Chief Technology Officer at the Office of Management and Budget. And joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve.
We've mentioned a couple of times now the e-government initiatives. There's 24 of them. Can you tell us more about how they grew out of the President's management agenda?
Absolutely. When I arrived in January of 2002, the 24 initiatives had already been selected out of a process that was called Quicksilver. And there was a group headed by Mark Forman, and it was people participating from the agencies as well as OMB. And they sifted through 9,000 major initiatives and distilled that down to the 24 most important. And they did that based on what was best for the citizen, what was available in the marketplace, and something that could be delivered in 18 to 24 months. And you got to understand, they did these selections before 9/11. And if you look at the 24 initiatives that fall into four portfolio segments, and again, managing these things by segments is very private sector. Understand who your customer is. There's a government to citizen. There's a government to business. There's internal effectiveness and efficiency. And there's G to G. And if you look at G to G, that is where you have wireless. That's where you have eVital. That's where you have geospatial. Those initiatives hits the sweet spot of homeland security. You have the government to citizen, the e-tax, the work that's being done by the IRS in terms of making it easier. And then you have the other piece of it, which sits over in government to business, where there's an initiative that makes it easier for companies to file taxes. There are countries in the world, Norway is one of them, where the government actually renders a bill. And the bill looks like your end of year Amex statement, if you will, or when you have a credit card that has them, and it shows you your puts and gets. And so if we do this right, ultimately the companies can electronically, XML et al., send the information that can be processed by the federal government, and then a bill can be rendered, and you should be able to get a statement ultimately that says to you, this is what it looks like, sign, and it gives you enough information so if you wanted to say, well, this isn't exactly right or whatever. And so, it's that match set. And then the internal effectiveness and efficiency focuses on back office, but more importantly, the initiatives around federal employees, payroll, human resources information, benefits. I'd have to say to you that, you know, right, it looks like in the next 3 to 5 years, we have the potential to lose half of the human resources in the federal government. It's going to be a terrific loss. And I have to say to you, with the current state of the human resources systems in the federal government, it's going to be really tough on a day-to-day basis to get high-performance young professionals to come in government, into government, and stay because they, you know, you have to have a subsistence level of employee support in order to get people to stay. And so, again, you look at those initiatives that were hatched pre-911 and so forth, it hits the sweet spot of improving the systems that we need in order to engage employees and retention. So we've made quite a bit of progress. Gov Benefits is in its second iteration. Recreation Online. Again, there's a number of, and certainly FirstGov, Yahoo puts it in its, you know, top 25 portals. We've made a lot of progress of, you know, one click, as Mark Forman says, one click to service. We've made a lot of progress, but we've certainly got a long ways to go.
Like the federal enterprise architecture, e-authentication is an initiative that sort of underpins all the others. Can you tell us about the status of that one?
Yeah, e-authentication, basically, again, our customers, our citizens, customers, are saying to us that they really don't want to have to identify themselves to us more than once. And so e-authentication is a process that's the consistent process, security process, the authentication process that is used for our citizens to access its government. And so it's a common initiative across the other 23 initiatives. The bridge is up. And there's actually agencies that are participating in the use of the bridge. Progress is certainly being made in terms of that common approach. And then again, ultimately, and I haven't said this up to this point, the horizontal integration that the federal enterprise architecture enables is not only civilian government. It's DOD and the intelligence community as well. And literally in our architecture work, we've included them in the architecture planning. The same thing ultimately can be said about e-authentication. Ultimately, it should be across the entirety of the federal government. The other thing in terms of the federal enterprise architecture that I'd also like to add is that there's vertical integration. In order for those e-government initiatives, especially when you think of geospatial and wireless, we have to do integration with the state and local governments as well, working with NASIO et al., in order to be able to have that vertical integration. The citizen can only be served if there's both horizontal and vertical integration. But, e-authentication is a great example of progress made. There's such things as the Liberty Alliance that's out in the private sector, where a lot of private sector organizations have gotten together and kind of created this in a pseudo environment. And basically, the citizen is saying the same thing in the private sector. I really don't want to have 82 passwords. I don't want to have 10 certificates. I want my credentials to be secure and consistent and easy to use.
What are some of the management challenges that the agencies face as they implement e-government?
Well, obviously, the one that we've already talked about in terms of the mission of the agencies in many cases is born of the legislation that created it and not necessarily in alignment with what the citizens expect. So, again, that's the current situation. And so there needs to be a cross-reference or mapping of the agency missions. And then again, this is what we're doing in the enterprise architecture and first with the IT resources. We're basically mapping the requests within agencies and within programs. We're mapping that to the business reference model by line of business, by function, by sub-function, and doing redundancy and gap analysis. And ultimately, that can be done for human capital management and large fixed assets as well.
The Solution Architect Working Group, tell us what that is and what its role is in supporting the FEA.
Well, for those of us who have been around technology for a long time, there's always been one type of very important human being. We used to call them business analysts. And that was the human being who basically was capable of understanding the business requirements as well as the technology to be deployed in solving those problems. This is the latest version. A solutions architect is basically someone who takes a component and consistent technology architecture and applies it to business to solve business problems. And there's two types of human capital professionals in the federal government that we have severe shortages of. One is program managers, certified, experienced program managers, and that is a significant opportunity for improvement, both in terms of e-government as well as any new initiatives. And we're also short of solution architects. The Solution Architect Working Group, which is chaired by Bob Haycock, who is the chief architect for the federal government, basically, he chairs that group, and it's the solution architects from the agencies meeting in a group and basically are engaged first in supporting the 24 e-government initiatives. And so basically, it's connecting the dots between what the expected outcome is for the citizen and deploying the most effective technology structure.
As I understand it, one of the objectives of the group is to make sure that standard technologies are being used across government. How do they do that?
As you all know, part of web services is becoming more mature, and there's some that is still a work in progress. But clearly, web services supports the idea of having a directory of components or a directory of services. And so what we're talking about here is, and by the way, a process view of serving a customer says the more different approaches you take in serving the same customer, the more unpredictable the outcome is. So there's a practical side of this in terms of not having redundant IT serving the customer with the same line of business, and that is they're not seeing consistent service. So redeploying a consistent component, if you need a portal, there should be a consistent set of technology components that enables that portal construction. If you're doing content management in the back end, then you should be able to have a consistent set of components. And I'm not saying one. There may be three or four or X number of content management capabilities that are all plug and play. Database management systems, what are that small number of effective technical capabilities that are going to be plug and play so that everybody can achieve a consistent outcome?
It's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Norm Lorenz of OMB. What is a truly seamless government and how close are we to reaching it? We'll ask Norm for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.